done fell right down that rabbit hole. So reality is questionable. Try, but you just can't let it go. These two right here put on a show. It's paranormal overload with Southern hospitality. Haunted murder mayhem tip while discussing immortality. Locations with a dark past, history that comes to life. Hillbillies with a knack for everything that goes bump at night. Overthinking if you're by yourself, these two will have you turning on the lights. Mixing in a little comedy to make sure it all fits in just right. Hey.
Welcome to Hillbilly Horror Stories. Now here's your hosts, Jerry and Tracy Paul, and their dog Ninja.
And sometimes their cat Freddy, but never the ferrets.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 387 of Hillbilly Horror Stories. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Tracy.
Tracy, as usual, we want to start off thanking all of our military and civil servants all over the world, no matter which country you represent. Thanks for everything you men, women, and service animals do for us on a daily basis.
Absolutely. This world is in chaos right now, I feel. And, you know, we're just so thankful for all that you guys do to keep us safe. We just continue prayers for you all the time. And just want to keep thanking you every time we can.
Absolutely. Tracy, also, as you mentioned, the world being in chaos, there's a lot of people out there where their own personal worlds are in chaos. Several different reasons, could be anything. And sometimes you don't even know what the reason is. But there's a lot of people out there struggling, and we get reached out to on a regular basis. The group gets reached out to on a regular basis. And I just think it bears mentioning. And I want to mention tonight the military, because, you know, 22 people who are currently serving or ex-military commit suicide every single day.
Yeah.
And that's just a number that's haunting when you think about it.
Of course, sad but true. It's a horrible thought that, you know, these people who are our angels, as I look at them, have to suffer so much with, you know, what they have to do on a daily basis. And, you know, I don't know how they do it, honestly.
Yeah, it's a lot to go through.
Yeah, Tracy, it sure is.
How else can people get some help if they would like some?
You can call the crisis hotline at 988. You can text 741-741, and please reach out to our wonderful group. There will always be somebody there for you guys. And so if you need to talk to Jerry or me, you can just shoot us a message and we'll give you our phone numbers. But just reach out, guys, because we love y'all.
All right, Tracy, as many people are aware, we're in the process of moving, so it's kind of chaotic around here.
It is.
Speaking of chaos. But, I mean, we're basically living in a shell right now. I mean, the podcast studio, we've torn down almost everything off the walls. We've got our table still together, but that's about it.
That's about it, man.
It's looking empty.
Bunch of holes in the wall.
There are a bunch of...
Oh, my gosh. Like, our podcast room is, like, so empty right now, and the walls look pitiful because there's, like, nothing scary hanging up anymore.
Yes. The books, all my books have been pulled away.
Yep.
You didn't realize how many books I had to start packing them,
did you? No, you have a crap ton of books. Like, seriously.
Well, obviously, I've been making several trips down. Tracy made one with me, but these are 12 to 14 hour drives up, 12 to 14 hours back. So that leaves 2 days a week where I have no time to really do anything. And then the other times we're packing and trying to get all the episodes out. So we did tell you, I think last week, that there would be some episodes that are best ofs and stuff. I think there was one or two this week, and next week is our actual move week, where we're moving all the big stuff and all taking the pets down and all that stuff. So that week, for the most part, is almost all best ofs and stuff. But I reached out and tried to find some really fun shows to put up.
Okay, good.
So, and some of them were, you know, depending on how new of a listener you are, you might not have ever heard these anyway. But, you know, like, you know, I didn't realize Hillbilly Dead Time Stories in January hits the 3-year anniversary.
Heck on it.
I know, I had no idea.
Will you shave my pits later?
Oh, speaking of horror stories.
I don't know. It's bugging me because you know I can't hardly shave them with my broken arm.
What was your excuse before?
I did shave
broken them. Arm.
I shaved my pits.
So anyways, my point is, those are getting ready to start hitting. So you see a little bit this week. You'll see some next week. This coming week, there'll be some too, but I'm doing everything I can to try to keep it fresh and try to
and
keep it good.
I'm going to praise him because my husband literally has run his ass off. Honestly, I'm kind of worried about him. I keep trying to get him to slow down, and he's just gotten his bags under his eyes are worse than mine are. But I do want you all to know that he has literally not wanted to miss an episode to record nothing. And he works on it all day long. Today he worked on the Patreon. I mean, the
our books. First batch of books came in. So we got about, I only had 20 on this shipment.
Yeah.
And then I got other ones that are supposed to be here in the next couple of days. But I've got 20 of those ready to go out.
Yeah.
The shirts
so
and
the
he
books. Worked. Yeah. He worked on that the majority of the day because, you know, we feel so bad that it took so long for these books to get here, but never fear, the other books are on their way, and you know how he is. He'll make sure he gets those out. But, you know, I just wanted to say thank you, Jerry, because you really, really have been busting your butt, and I'm just so proud of you. And I can't wait till we are totally moved down there and you can, like, chill and relax for about a whole week. But I know you won't, but
no,
still.
No, those pictures to hang.
I know,
to get together.
I know. But, you know, I just want to say thank you because you really have been going beyond what I could ever dreamed of. And he's, you know, I'm not much of a help because I'm one-armed bandit over here. But I do the best I can. But I just want to let you all know that he really cares about you so much that he wants to make sure we get these episodes out to you guys because that's how much he cares about you all.
Well, with that being said, the reason I told you about, you know, the trips and all that stuff is when life interferes with mm-hmm. the podcast where we just have stuff going on or illnesses or whatever the case is, I don't get to do the research that I would typically do for a long story.
Mm-hmm.
And I've covered this before. So if we're covering a location, let's just say Waverly Hills, I will look up, I don't know how many videos, I don't know how many articles.
Oh, yeah.
And then I will compare and contrast to mm-hmm. see if five of them say the same thing, but the sixth one has something different. Mm-hmm. That gives me maybe another angle yeah. that somebody else didn't have. It's not the same thing. And I really try to seek out those things. Well, when we have situations like this, I can't look up multiple episodes or articles on one location. So that's when we kind of tend to do maybe a listener story that is sent to us because there's really no research into that. That's just a mm-hmm. cool story. I just got to format it in a way where it sounds like, you know, the way we would normally do it. Or we end up with multitudes of stories, like it might be all police officer stories or something like that. Those stories, just the reality is they don't take as much research.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still cool stories.
Oh,
but
definitely.
But those are the ones that I kind of lean on these weeks where I just don't have the mm-hmm. time to put in the research.
Yeah.
And tonight is going to be one of those episodes where
lean-ons.
Well, I've got very cool stories.
Okay, good.
But they're random. None of these stories have anything to do with the other.
Okay.
So it's just letting people know it really is. I like to kind of put a theme together with them, reincarnation stories or what have you. But there's no theme on this one whatsoever. With that being said, since I kind of mentioned it, we're actually going to start off with some police stories.
Okay, great.
Now, these were sent by an officer who worked on a college campus in Houston, Texas area. These are all very short stories, and there obviously is a connection to these, but I count all these as one story
mm-hmm.
since they all came from the same officer and dealing with the similar situations at the same location. Now, with that being said, these stories took place in 2009 and 2010. At this time, the campus, and he didn't specify which college it was, obviously, just that it was in the Houston area, but the campus was undergoing some renovations. None of these renovations were happening at nighttime, which is the shift that he worked.
Oh, okay.
The only people on campus was this officer his partner, and occasionally a security guard, which will pop up in one of these stories. On this particular night, he and his partner had posted up on opposite ends of the campus. It's important to know that the buildings on campus were designed to stop radio waves. I guess they don't want the kids using their phones.
Oh, okay.
In the school. So therefore, the dispatch couldn't get a hold of the officers very easily. So every 2 hours, the officers would meet in the courtyard to check in.
I mean, how many years ago was this, I wonder?
2009, 2010.
Oh, that's right. You did say that. Because I don't think it's like that today. As far as... I know they don't like the phones in school, but obviously there's phones in schools now, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah, but at the same time, a lot of these buildings today, that with all the steel and everything, it just makes it tough
for
the waves to get through.
That's true.
The officer decided he wanted to have a little fun this night by messing with his partner. He went to the window across from the courtyard, and he was going to shoot a laser pointer towards her desk, just to kind of freak with her a little bit. Oh. Maybe she's part cat. I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
So they were actually inside the building. So I didn't really mention this before. So these officers are inside. They both have offices inside the building.
Oh.
So they're not like roaming around in their cars or patrol.
Okay, okay.
They actually are set up in the buildings, but they were on opposite sides.
Okay, good.
At this time. To get to the window, he had to enter an office, then turn left, cross a small reception area, then into a little short hallway, and then he had to go right towards where her window would be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So this is what he does. Well, as soon as he turned into the hallway, he saw a 3-foot-tall shadow run across the hallway leading to the window.
3-foot-tall?
3-foot-tall.
Elf?
It was moving toward him from one office to another. So he drew his weapon and he turned on its light. He spun to face the office where he saw this thing or shadow enter. He found absolutely nothing in there. The room was completely empty. No desk, no chair, no shadow person.
Maybe it was a big, huge rat.
There was no rat there either. He would have seen it. Now, a few weeks later, he had a guard with him for the night. They were all going to meet up at the 4 a.m. In the courtyard to be able to do their roundup. After this, they were going to go back to the officer's post, which was in the loading dock area. They was then going to send somebody out to get dinner. So there was a plan. His partner and the security guard were the first to arrive at the courtyard. The officer that that's telling the story, he had to walk down a long hallway and through a door with one of those self-locking push bars on it. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Because this was a straight hallway, he could look directly into the courtyard, where his partner and stuff were at. So he props the door open with the push thing so it wouldn't lock. And there was, I guess I should tell you, there was a reason behind this, because when they were going to come back to his post, they could have went straight back through instead of having to take a long way all the way around. So with this door being open, they could go straight through and it was going to save some time.
Yeah, heck yeah.
So he props it open. Well, he gets to the courtyard. And while waiting for dispatch to make contact with him, the security officer threw a cigarette butt into the can that was right next to the door the officer had just came through. The guard said that he had actually forgotten his keys back at his post, so he had to go get his keys.
Crap. I was supposed to save time.
Yeah, so he gets his keys. Now, this was in the building that was opposite the courtyard. So while the guard did that, the officer and his partner, they went ahead and said, you know what, we'll go ahead and go back to my post. And so they go to the door that he had just came out of. The lady officer pulls it, and it was completely locked. Not from a push bar, from a deadbolt. So they assume that the guard probably locked it to mess with them. But then they remembered that he didn't have his keys.
Right.
So he couldn't have locked it. The deadbolt had no way at all to automatically lock.
Yeah, you got to turn it, right?
You got to turn it.
I wonder who that little scoundrel was.
Probably that 3 foot tall. Mm-hmm. Probably got a Napoleon complex.
I know the feeling.
Part of their routine at shift change was to open certain doors along the way. And then on the last round of the night, they would lock those doors. One of these doors was between a hallway and the outside edge of the building, leading into an elevated walk space to the next building. So it would raise up.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
To be able to get to it. The closer on the door was broken, so it took considerable force to open and close that door, which the closer would be that little hinge thing. Not hinge, but you know, the little hinge that led from the door to the thing that kind of makes it close slow.
Yeah.
But if it's broke,
yeah,
it makes it a pain in the neck.
Yeah.
So it was extremely hard to close the door. The officer had actually forced it open earlier that night. He was on his way to close it before doing some paperwork. When he got about 40 feet from the door, he starts walking towards it, and the door smoothly swung closed completely. The officer was already on edge from strange noises that he had heard coming from empty offices earlier in that night.
Offices.
He had also seen shadows moving past windows on other floors. So after seeing this door close, he just turned around and walked right back to his office. The last incident that happened at this college, it actually happened on a night when his regular partner was not there, so they had a part-time officer filling in for.
But at least there was somebody there.
Right. They watched as a white van, they're watching the security cameras, a white van pulled into the parking garage. And then it just vanished as it went through the first floor. It went behind the structure in the center of the garage and never came out the other side. So they went out and they cleared the entire garage, but there was never any trace of the van. They went back and they checked the video and they could plainly see the van enter, but there is absolutely no footage of it leaving.
That is creepy.
At all.
You know how those white vans are. They're creepy anyway.
Right. All right. Let's move to a different story. Now, Tracy, this is a listener story, and they want it to be anonymous.
Okay.
So that's what we're going to do. It's not even paranormal.
Oh.
But I think we will all agree after hearing it that this would freak any of us out, and it's definitely a horror story.
Oh, gosh.
All right, so we're going to refer to the listener as Matt. That's not his name, but that's what we're going to call him. Matt was making a long drive to visit his family for Christmas just this last month. They lived about 15 hours away, and usually he just makes the long drive, you know, in one day.
So it literally happened just a month ago.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Over Christmas. On this trip, though, there was some snow, and it made driving much more dangerous and slower. And he said usually he was traveling from, usually snow doesn't hit that early.
Oh, okay.
It usually is a little later in the year.
Yeah.
So Matt was prepared to stop at a hotel somewhere along the way if he needed to. He didn't book anything in advance because he wasn't really sure how far he'd get before he felt like he needed to stop. So he'd cross that bridge when he comes to it. When he left, it was barely snowing. But that quickly changed. The roads were still fairly clear, but everyone was definitely driving way more careful, which was slowing things down. So about 8 hours into this, he still wasn't even halfway there. Normally, he would have been more than halfway there.
Oh, yeah.
It was a little after 9 p.m., and Matt was starting to get tired, but not only that, he was getting frustrated. Driving in any conditions, when you have to give much more attention, it's like for snow or rain or when you're white knuckling, that wears you out.
Oh, Oh my God, doesn't it really? Wears it sure you does. Out. Ugh.
But Matt felt like that he had to keep going, so his drive the next morning wouldn't be so long.
Mm-hmm.
At 12 a.m., the snow had accumulated on the road, and there were no plow trucks out there, so things were really getting slow. So he's at the point where he's like, now I'm just spinning my wheels. I'm tired. I'm frustrated. I'm going so slow. It's just time. So he'd had enough. He said he needed to stop for the night. So he pulls off at the next exit into a small motel parking lot. Now, this was a long one-story building with about 10 rooms. So one of these little small things that you would see off the side of the road. It looked really old, and even the lights on it, he said, it was about half burnt out and dim. Yeah, so
that's how most of them are.
Yeah. Matt parked his car, and he got out. He walked up to the main entry. Now, inside, there was a small room with a front desk. But there was a sign. It was locked. There was a sign that he could visibly see that said, be back in 15 minutes. He said he even remembered that it had a little coffee cup on it and all that. So he figured somebody's on break. As he's walking back to his car, that's when he notices that the parking lot was completely empty.
Wait.
There were no cars whatsoever, and it didn't even look like any cars had been there in that parking lot that night because you would have seen it from the snow tracks.
Yeah, I think it would have been a big pass for me.
He decides that, you know what, I'll just go back to the car, I'll turn on the heat, I'll give it 15 minutes or so to see if somebody shows up. Well, he starts thinking, you know, no cars, no one at the front desk. I'm wondering if that sign actually was for somebody on break or if that was the sign that just got left for the night before or whatever the case was. And besides, there was no places within 15 minutes of that location for anybody to go out and grab, you know, lunch or mm-hmm. there was no restaurants, no stores, nothing.
Oh, yeah, that's a big inconvenience.
But he thought, well, maybe they didn't leave the premises. Maybe they just went to the back to heat up some food or grab mm-hmm. something out of the fridge or whatever the case was. So Matt said, you know what? I'm just going to sit here. And he starts thinking about what he wants to do next, but he fell asleep. He woke up a few hours later. The snow was really coming down now. The wind was blowing so hard it was making his car rock back and forth.
Oh, gosh. Bunch of snow drifts, too.
He sat up. He looked at the entrance of the hotel to see if, you know, hey, has anything changed? But he made eye contact with a man that was staring directly into his window.
No.
Matt flinched, being caught off guard, as you can imagine. The man yelled something towards the parking lot. So Matt looks behind him, and he could see there was a truck parked over there behind this guy. Another man got out of the driver's side of that truck, and he started walking towards Matt's car. The man already at the car walked around all the doors checking the door handles. He's physically lifting the door handles trying to get in the car. All of them, luckily, were locked. Matt said he threw the car in reverse, but the wheels started to spin. He was stuck. The men started to move quicker. One was yelling at the other to come over to his side and break out the back window.
Oh, man. That's going to let all the heat out.
Matt kept shifting from drive to reverse to drive in reverse to try to get the car mm-hmm. into some kind of a rocking type motion. That's when he heard the back passenger window shatter. One of the men was reaching in for the door handle. He then put about half of his body through the window and he opened the door. Matt got some traction right at that time and was able to pull out, throwing the man off the car.
Yeah, probably the weight of the man gave him that traction.
It's possible. The other man ran and jumped in his truck, and he starts following Matt out of the parking lot. Matt said he made it out of the parking lot and back onto the freeway, and at that point, they stopped following him.
Knew he shouldn't have stopped there.
He said he's got no clue what those men had planned, but
probably gonna eat him.
Pretty glad that he didn't find out.
Yeah. Man, he got so lucky. That is so terrifying. Especially when you got stuck and you're like, damn it. Oh, excuse me, guys. Can you all give it in the back and give me a little push before you kill me?
Right. Well, that's a crazy story. See what I mean? Mm-hmm. It wasn't paranormal, but could you imagine?
That's a very scary story.
It is scary. All right. This next one is a personal account from a teacher whose school was haunted.
Interesting.
Again, this is another anonymous story for obvious reasons.
Yes, of course.
So we're going to call this teacher Joan. Joan says that she was working at a school where many of the students and staff had experiences with the dead. Apparently, the school was constructed on a property that was sold to the church. The property was a reclaimed cemetery.
Okay.
Since this was a pioneer-era cemetery, some of the family of the dead could not be located to get permission to move the bodies. Therefore, the bodies were not removed. Some of them they were, but not all of them. Half of the cemetery is still located on the adjacent property. The city had taken over ownership of the cemetery, and then they do all the looking out for it and the upkeep and all that. And apparently they do a pretty nice job. But here's the thing. Some of the school's parents have no idea that the dead are still there underneath the school.
Oh, they don't?
No. Well, Joan's boss, who was a nun, so obviously this was a Catholic school, and one of the other nuns figured out that she was sensitive.
Oh.
When her boss figured it out, she approached her one Saturday. Joan was in there grading papers. And she asked her what she could see and what she could hear. And she then realized that Joan could see a teenage boy standing behind her in the library. These instances happened so often at the school that they couldn't even keep a janitorial crew at nighttime. Because that's when a lot of the stuff happened, was at night.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
So they couldn't keep a cleaning crew for the sake of their life. A psychic nun... It's the first time I've heard that.
Oh, me too.
A psychic nun was actually called in to give the and gave the principal some information about spirits at the school. Her boss actually shared that information with her. They decided to have a little ceremony at the school. It was a dedication for protection for the Virgin Mary. The students and the parents thought this was just like a traditional type thing. In reality, it was trying to decrease the activity and hopefully send some of the restless spirits over to the other side. The school was quiet for some time after doing this. They would also have a mass in the cemetery on All Saints Day for 4 years in a row, and then pray for the people in that cemetery to give them peace. Joan said that she could actually see the dead and the locations of their graves, so she would not walk over top of the graves for respect. Now, keep in mind, we're not talking about the graves in the cemetery. We're talking about graves that are literally under blacktop. So you won't be able to see anything. No. You're just walking on a parking lot, but she knows where the graves are underneath of them. She said, imagine having blacktop in a basketball court placed right over top of your grave. Joan would sit in the faculty room, listening to the other teachers talk about hearing footsteps or voices and thinking there's so much more that they don't even realize.
Oh, yeah.
Children would ask if the school was haunted, and the faculty's response was always no, because why frighten them? They knew, though. Some of the children were sensitive as well. One day, Joan was grading papers. There was some tests that had to be done, and the kids were all out at lunch and recess, and she had the lights turned off. She liked to turn off the lights to kind of give her eyes a little bit of a break. But yeah. At the same time, she said that it would save energy for the school. She was all about that. And she had windows that went, it was in California, she had windows that went from the door all the way to the other end. So she got plenty of light during the daytime hours. Well, as she's sitting there grading these papers, she looks out across her desk, and she sees a little girl kind of get down on all fours and start climbing in between the desks, making her way towards the front She gets to the chalkboard and she stands up. She turns around right towards Joan and she smiles. Well, Joan thought this initially was maybe one of her students that was trying to play a little prank on her. It didn't take long for her to realize, though, that this little girl wasn't a living girl. She was wearing a light brown woolen dress. It was a beautiful shade of tobacco brown, she said. I don't think I've ever used a phrase of beautiful and brown in the same. Just brown is such a drab. That's why I never understood why the Cleveland Browns chose that, or why UPS chose. I just think clothes that are brown just, I don't know.
Yeah, I could totally picture that tobacco brown dress.
Anyway, she was wearing these lace-up calf-sized boots. She had brown eyes and light brown wavy hair. But here's the thing. She said that her hair wasn't brushed properly. Her hair definitely needed some attention. And Joan became instantly upset that this pretty little girl had such messy hair. Mm-hmm. She felt like that somebody had just disrespected her and shouldn't have sent her to school that way.
Right.
Even though she knew this wasn't a real girl. She said that the girl was very pretty. She was in 1880s to 1920s attire. So that had to be the age she was from. She was probably 8 or 9 years old. Joan asked her if she was playing hide and seek. And she said the little girl just kind of ignored her. And she said, well, wouldn't you like to go outside and play with the other children? She didn't get an answer for that either. So she told the little girl that she was more than welcome to stay with her in the classroom. And the little girl smiled and just faded away.
Aww. Very nice.
There's our three random stories.
Yeah, they are random. They were good, though, for real.
So, anyways, let's take a really quick sponsor break, and then we'll be back with some Patreon stuff and all that.
All right.
All right, Tracy, we are back. Still had two people this week tell me they had signed up for the cruise.
Yay!
So, I don't know how many people we got signed up, but, you know, 3 or 4, I guess. I don't know. But anyways, if you want to find out more about the cruise, go to hillbillyhorrorstories.com. It's us and Brohio, and there are all kinds of details on the page. Hillbillyhorrorstories.com. Go there. Check it out.
Check it out.
So what do you got going on over there?
I have not a whole lot. We had an iTunes review from Miss Susan Bowman. Thank you. That was very, very nice of you. We appreciate you taking the time out to do that. You guys keep the reviews coming. If you can, if you find time, it really helps us out a whole lot.
Don't wuss out. Everybody, we need you to leave a review this week. Everybody.
We do appreciate you guys so much, though.
One thing that I would ask people to do is if you would really like to help out in a way that's completely free, go to social media, no matter which form, and just post that you listen to Hillbilly Horror Stories and tell people to check us out.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's easy enough.
Free, easy. Everybody's got social media for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So that would help us out tremendously. You have no idea. I mean, if thousands of you post that, there'll at least be 100 people that'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
And that's all we could ever ask.
It's much appreciated. You guys have really come through for us all these years, and we can't thank you enough.
Yeah, you have no idea how much you guys have came through for us. All right, guys, that wraps it up for this week.
All right. We hope you guys have a blessed week. We love you.